Hello everyone, and welcome to J-Talk Extra Time. John Steele here, just recording a quick intro to this pod. That's because James Taylor and I are going to get together a little bit later this week to record our J2 section. So in a moment, you're going to hear the usual J-Talk short corner segment with Magic Mike Innes. He has all the news from J3. Very, very packed a few days in the third tier with the Lavan Cup, Emperor's Cup qualifying, and of course J3 itself. So Mike Innes with J-Talk short corner in a moment. And please stay tuned because you're going to hear from James and I on a J2 tip in a separate pod a bit later this week. So just before I do hand you over to Mike, I wanted to preview some of the Lavan Cup games taking place this midweek, Wednesday night. Round 2 of the revamped League Cup competition is upon us. Now, there are 11 games on Wednesday night. That's April 17th. Most of them are J3 against J1. So again, you're going to hear about those from Mike in a moment. But there are a trio of games where it's J2 against J1. So I wanted to preview those for you quickly while I've got the chance. So first of all three of the games, which have a J2 team hosting a J1 opponent, are at 7 p.m. It's Kagoshima against Tokyo Verdy. That looks like an interesting game at Shiranami. Nagasaki against Iwata is coming up at the Transcosmos Stadium, and you'd have to imagine, with Nagasaki doing so well so far this season in J2, there's a good chance of a win for them at home to Iwata. And the third game, which is J2 versus J1, is Iwaki against Niigata at the Hawaiian Stadium in Iwaki. Now, Niigata is not quite in the Tohoku region, I don't think, but it's pretty close. You can imagine there'll be, a big contingent of travelling Niigata supporters, so that should be a pretty special occasion as well. So coming up this midweek, it's Kagoshima against Tokyo Verdy, Nagasaki against Iwata, and Iwaki against Niigata, and James and I will review those games when we have a chance, maybe this week or maybe next, because things are busy at the moment, but we will talk about those when we get a chance. But I think that's quite enough for me, so please stay tuned. Along in a moment is Mike Innes with your regularly scheduled J-Talk Short Corner programming. Speak to you soon, take care. J-Talk
Extra Time. Hello and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini-pod that covers all things J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this packed episode, I'll be looking back on fixtures in rounds 9 and 10 of the J3 season, as well as previewing the midweek Lavan Cup ties and the ragtag of league and cup matches coming up this weekend. To begin with, a dash through the 9 round 9 games on Wednesday the 10th of April. Ormia Ardija kept their unbeaten start going with a win at YSCC Yokohama. As with the round 8 match against Osaka, it was opposition error that proved decisive here. The hosts Sean van Eerden fluffing a back pass, Kenyu Sugimoto steering it over the line. Final score, YSCC 0, Ormia 1. More late goals for Azul Claro Numazu here at home to SC Sagamihana. The visitors led early on. Taira Maeda's strike fumbled by keeper Kenta Watanabe, but in-form Hagumi Wada scored with close-range shots in the 87th and 91st minutes to win it for the hosts. Final score, Numazu 2, Sagamihana 1. Late drama also between FC Gifu and Katane Toyama. It was heading for 0-0 until, in the 92nd minute, Kohei Matsumoto netted his first for Katane with a near-post header. Yuya Taguchi blasted in a 96th minute penalty to take a point for the home side. Final score, Gifu 1, Toyama 1. A composed finish from Marcus Vinicius set FC Imabari on the road to victory at Tegevajaro Miyazaki. The hosts quickly drew level via Keigo Hashimoto's deft half volley, but a header by Tomoki Hino proved decisive. 2-in-2 games for the JFL 2023 top scorer. Final score, Miyazaki 1, Imabari 2. At Hanazono, goals at last for FC Osaka, certainly enough of them to beat Vanrare Hachinohe. Osaka captain Takahiro Kitsui did see his penalty saved by Shogo Onishi, but Naoki Tanaka's far post finish and a rocket from Shunsuke Tachino clinched it for the Sky Blues. Final score, Osaka 2, Hachinohe 0. AC Nagano Parseiro dominated at home to Gainare Tottori, but couldn't turn their superiority into goals. The Gainare opener coming when homekeeper Ken Tajiri dropped a cross for Hiroto Sese to poke it over the line. The second, Shota Tanaka's fizzing low shot. Final score, Nagano 0, Tottori 2. Masaya Kojima had Zweigen Kanazawa 2 up by 21 minutes at Fukushima United. The first, a stinging half volley, the second, a cross that crept under the bar. But Fukushima fought back via Kazumasa Shimizu's sharp finish and drew level with Kotamori's intended cross. Final score, Fukushima 2, Kanazawa 2. Three big points for Giravants Kita Kyushu, who at home to FC Ryukyu Okinawa went ahead through Koki Hasegawa's header. Haruto Shirai dived for and missed a penalty for Ryukyu. Giravants won it when Ryuki Hirahara's shot was deflected by Yuta Sato for an own goal. Final score, Kita Kyushu 2, Ryukyu 0. 3 points also for Iwate Gruja Morioka, who at home to Nana Club took the lead on 55 minutes via Kota Fukatsu's arcing header. A header from Manato Hyakuda sneaked inside the post for an equaliser. Sota Kiri glanced one over the line to win it for Gruja. Final score, Iwate 2, Nana 1. Then on Saturday the 13th, there were two round 10 games. SC Sagamihara reasserting their grip on 6th in the table thanks to a home win over Fukushima United. Not a classic this one, the only goal of the game coming midway through the first half when Riku Tanaka stole in front of Hiroshi Omori to head in Yuzo Iwakami's outswinging cross. Sagamihara shaded it overall, wildly inconsistent Fukushima, rarely threatening until the last 20 minutes, Kiichi Yajima wasting their best chance when, clear through on goal and 10 yards out, he blasted over the bar. Final score, Sagamihara 1, Fukushima 0. Kazuyuki Toda's team, again, less than compelling, but their home form provides a basis for this season's improvement. Shuhei Terada's frustrating Fukushima have taken 2 points from the last 6 matches and now sit 16th. Off the back of their crushing loss at Kanazawa, Matsumoto Yamaga recovered from going 2 down to take a precious point at Nana Club. Things looked ominous for Matsumoto when, as early as the 4th minute in a Nana team move down the right, Yuto Kunitake and Shota Yomasaka combined to set up Megumu Nishida for a simple finish inside the post. The hosts extended their lead moments into the second half. More joy on the right-hand side from where Kei Ikoma crossed low for Yuki Okada to score his second of the week. But in the latter stages, Yamaga bounced back with 2 in 4 minutes. First, a right-footed rasper from veteran Kosuke Yamamoto left unmarked on the edge of the area. Then, a trademark towering header by Takato Nonomura from Yusuke Kikui's corner kick. Final score, Nana 2, Matsumoto 2. 1 win in 10 underlines how Julian Marin Basalo's Nana have yet to click in their second J-League season. Yamaga fans are calling for President Fumiyuki Kanda and coach Masahiro Shimoda to step down with their team in 13th. Which left 8 games for Sunday the 14th when leaders Omiya Ardija hosted second-placed Azul Claro Numazu. Omiya had somewhat the better of the early exchanges and took the lead on 39 minutes, Kazushi Fuji laying it off for Kenyu Sugimoto, who drove in from 20 yards. But Numazu opened up the home defence to draw level 9 minutes into the second half. A low cross from Takumi Tsukui on the right Hagami Wada just failing to make contact, but it bounced over the line off Ardija centre-back Mizuki Hamada for an own goal. Azul Claro have developed a reputation for finishing a match on the front foot, but on this occasion rarely threatened Takashi Kasahara in the home goal. A Manabu Saito free kick that flew well off target, the closest they came to grabbing a winner. Final score, Omiya 1, Numazu 1. Ardija hold on to top spot despite seeming to play within themselves. Azul Claro remain second on goal difference, the second highest top scorers in the division. Behind Omiya and Numazu in the standings, a pair of low-key away wins helped both FC Imabari and FC Osaka move up the table. Imabari travelled to Vanarare Hachinohe, and the only goal at the Pry Foods Stadium came in the 53rd minute. Marcus Vinicius apparently marked by no one at all as he dispatched a near-post header from Hikaru Arai's free kick. 5 for the season now for Marcus. The home side offered very little in this one, visiting keeper Genta Ito rarely under pressure. Final score, Hachinohe 0, Imabari 1. Vanarare lose at home for the first time this season and sink to the bottom of the table. The Towel City men did enough to take the points and not much more. Osaka's triumph, meanwhile, was at Iwate Gruja Morioka, where the Sky Blues almost took the lead early in the second half. Rookie centre-back Yuzuki Yamato, seeing his high ball into the box, float onto the top of the Iwate crossbar. But the decisive moment came with 15 minutes to go. Rui Tone receiving it from Rikuto Kubo, twisting and turning to leave both Maya Sako and Ryo Nizato on the floor, and firing a low shot that deflected off Kota Fukatsu and inside the far post. Final score, Iwate 0, Osaka 1. As with Vanarare, Gruja offered little here. The Sky Blues may only have scored the once, but were comfortably the better side. All good for Imabari and Osaka, much less positive news for FC Gifu, who slumped to a shock home defeat at the hands of Tegevajano Miyazaki. Tegevajano's Keigo Hashimoto may be a big lump up front, but he's a big lump up front who's scored 4 in the last 6 matches, here giving his team a 17th minute lead with a close range finish from Yosuke Ueno's ball to the near post. Ueno, incidentally, being the son of Gifu coach Yusaku. Just before half-time, it was 2-0 to the visitors, Shogo Rikiyasu battling his way past Yoshihiro Shoji and lashing in a shot from the edge of the box. Early in the second half, under challenge from Kengo Kuroki, Gifu striker Yuya Taguchi collapsed in the penalty box and got up to convert his second spot kick in 5 days. And within a couple of minutes, Taguchi had won another penalty kick, this time racing through on goal and drawing a foul from visiting keeper Kokoro Aoki. But Aoki recovered his composure to pull off a stunning save and so preserve his team's advantage. Final score, Gifu 1, Miyazaki 2. The home side performing with a defensive frailty not normally associated with promotion contenders. Yuji Okuma's Tegevajano have received their share of criticism and so should pick up praise when, as here, they deserve to take the points. Game of the day came at FC Ryukyu Okinawa, who roared into a 3-0 half-time lead against AC Nagano Paseiro. Ryota Iwabuchi opened the scoring with his first J3 goal for almost 18 months, receiving the ball from Haruto Shirai to finish from close range. The second came from Shirai, drilling it in from 10 yards after a neat pass by Yushin Koki. The third, a blaster from Yu Tomidokoro. Long-time listeners will know 3-0 is rarely a comfortable half-time advantage in J3, and sure enough, the Paseiro fight back began 7 minutes into the second period. Hayate Sugi with the cross, Reo Yamanaka producing a delicious flick with the outside of his boot. Sugi it was who made it 3-2 on the hour, hammering in a loose ball from 25 yards. But Shinai gave Ryukyu some breathing space, nodding it in at the far post after Ken Tajiri had parried Junya Suzuki's header. This in turn meant Yamanaka's volley with 10 minutes left was no more than further consolation for the away side, home sub Daisuke Takagi having a late tap-in ruled out for a particularly witless offside. Final score Ryukyu 4, Nagano 3. Kim Jong-song's team remain just outside the playoffs, their challenge based on a decent home record. 2 losses in 4 days, a blow for Riki Takagi's Parseiro, who drop to 11th. Meanwhile, it's 3 straight home wins now for Zvegan Kanazawa, whose latest success at the Gogo Curry Stadium came against YSCC Yokohama. All pretty comfortable for Akira Ito's team, although they missed an early chance to go in front when Marlison had a penalty saved by visiting keeper and folk hero Michiya Okamoto. On 17 minutes, Kanazawa were, however, handed the lead via an own goal as YSCC's Korki Matsumura knocked it in when attempting to cut out a cross from Hayato Ohtani. Marlison made amends for his earlier blunder just before the hour, rising to head in Keisuke Oyama's free kick. Pushing for a third, Yuki Nishiya saw his shot tipped onto the post by Okamoto, and it was 3 on 79 minutes, Nishiya leading a counter and squaring it for Taiki Kato to score. Zvegan presented their visitors with a way back into the game when Norimichi Yamamoto flattened Jorn Pedersen in the area, Pedersen converting the penalty for his first of the season, but from there, comeback came there none. Final score Kanazawa 3, YSCC 1. Zvegan continue to head in the right direction and now are up to 8th. The Kanagawa Seagulls are lower mid-table, but the week's losses to two of the division's stronger teams don't constitute a disaster. Alongside Kanazawa, another team on an upwards trajectory are Katane Toyama, although they scrambled their home win over Gainane Tottori. It was captain Tsubasa Yoshihira who opened the scoring for Katane on 11 minutes, hooking in at the far post when the away defence had failed to clear Yoshiki Takahashi's corner kick. The lead was maintained by keeper Tomoki Tagawa as he dived to keep out Shota Tanaka's shot, and with 21 minutes left, Shosaku Yasumitsu made it 2, sneaking in at the far post to head in Akira Osako's cross. Final score, Toyama 2, Tottori 0. One defeat in 6 means Katane climb back into the top half. A point and a place behind them for Gainare, a first loss since round 2. And finally, Giramantz Kitakyushu against Kamatamari Sanuki ended level. Kitakyushu going in front through Ryo Nagai's 29th minute penalty kick, awarded when Takaya Inui was hauled down by Hayato Hasegawa at a corner. Nagai's first goal following his move from Okayama wasn't enough to claim the win. Sanuki picking things up in the second half with Yuto Mori and Gentaro Yoshida bringing good saves from homekeeper Yuya Tanaka. The equaliser came when Nao Eguchi's in-swinging corner went in untouched at the near post. Final score Kitakyushu 1, Sanuki 1. Giramantz subpar here and unable to build on their midweek win. For Kamatamari, it's now 6 draws in 9 games. J-Talk Extra Time. So now to run through the top and bottom of the league standings after round 10. And hold on to your hat because it's all very complicated. The top 6 are Omiya with 21 points and a game in hand. Numazu and Imabari both with 20. Then it's Osaka 19, Gifu 18, Sagamihara 16. And down at the other end of the table, the bottom 6 are Nara with 8 points, Fukushima with 8 and a game in hand, Miyazaki with 8, Iwate with 8 and a game in hand, Sanuki 6 and a game in hand, and bottom of the table, also with 6 and a game in hand, Hachinohe. Just time now for a quick look ahead to J3 Club's involvement in the Lavan Cup second round ties this midweek. And then, over the weekend, it's a bit Wild West explanation to follow shortly. But on Wednesday the 17th of April, there are 8 ties in the Lavan Cup second round that feature J3 teams. Ormia against Nagoya Grampus, Numazu against Hokkaido Consadole Sapporo, Imabari against Vissel Kobe, Kitakyushu against FC Machida Zelvia, Matsumoto against Avispa Fukuoka, YSCC against FC Tokyo, Iwate against Cerezo Osaka, and Hachinohe against Kashima Antlers. The weekend of Saturday the 20th and Sunday the 21st sees the J3 calendar play catch-up as, mercifully, all the games in hand from the early part of the season are completed. There's also a series of ties in the prefectural knockout tournaments which act as qualifiers for the Emperor's Cup. All that means on Saturday the 20th in J3 Round 3, Ryukyu travel to Iwate. In J3 Round 9, Matsumoto need to pick up points at home to lowly Sanuki. And in their prefectural semi-final, Osaka play Momoyama Gakuin University. On Sunday the 21st, in J3 Round 3, leaders Ormia travel to Fukushima. And for bottom side Hachinohe, there's a vital home match against Kitakyushu. In their prefectural final, it's Tottori against Yonago Genki SC. And there are 3 prefectural semi-finals. Sagamihana against Toho Titanium, YSCC against Toin University Yokohama, and finally, Nagano against Artista Asama. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.